Hello, everybody, and welcome to, if you're listening to Matt, welcome to WDW Mic'd Up. If you're listening to me, Nate McGlam, welcome to Disney News Weekly. This is episode 13 for me, and this is episode 10. Congratulations, Matt, on making it to 10 episodes. This episode is me and Matt talking with Matt Hochberg and a lot of people from WDW today. I will basically tell you that this will be one of my best episodes and one of his. Matt had been talking to Lynn Testa for a while, and finally Lynn was available for recording, and I was just about as excited as Matt was. So I'm just gonna turn it over to Matt. The show will be available enhanced very soon. Please enjoy this episode. I know Matt worked hard on it, and I worked hard too, so this is going to be one of our best ones, and congratulations to Matt for making it 10 episodes. You deserve it. You're a great person. You're a great host. So, ladies and gentlemen, please enjoy the show.
I'm your host, Matt Scarano, along with host of Disney News Weekly Podcast and Musical Mouse, Mr. Nick McGlam. Nick, what's going on?
Nothing much, Matt. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Now, tonight, folks, we've got very good guests. If you've listened to, I've rambled on about how awesome this podcast is before, WDW today, we got Testa, also author of Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World. What is going on, then?
How's it going?
It's going great.
I think you have the three surviving members of WDW today in the show.
We also have from StudioCentral.com and the host of WDW today, Matt Hochberg. What's up, Matt?
What's up, Matt? I don't get any top billing over here. I mean, you put Len before me. I thought I spent the past 3 years building him down and putting him in his place, and you don't even get any love for the fellow nutmegger?
I added you a long time ago. That was the only one after you and Mike who added
me. Uh-huh.
I've been talking to Len for a couple months now.
You're in a little world, aren't you, Hochberg?
Lost in the mail.
And also from WDW today, and a writer and blogger for AllEars.net, we have Mike Scopo. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Matt, there goes Suzanne Summers, pulled by a blender fish.
And once again, it's so great to have you guys here. Thank you for taking some of your time to be on the show.
Finding Nemo?
No.
What was it?
Well, I guess I'll use it on our own podcast someday.
Yeah.
Finding Nemo.
Matt, we're happy to be here, although we're just glad that after this, our community service is finally fulfilled and we're all set.
You know, really, I can't wait to get back to my parole officer. I finally leave the state again.
This anklet is killing me.
Oh, man. Oh, my God.
All I'm saying is I'm not afraid to go back to jail again.
Matt?
We're waiting for you, Matt.
How long are we talking? How long are we talking for jail?
Well, that's a matter for the courts to decide.
Exactly.
The cellmate misses you.
I can't comment. I can't petting with
some new additions in Disney World. We're keeping it pretty basic today. And we're going out through all the parks and adding in a couple new restaurants, as we have the experts here, and they're going to be giving their opinions on the attractions and how they've liked them so far. So what park should we start at first? Anyone want any opinions here?
Magic Kingdom?
Magic Kingdom. I heard Magic Kingdom first.
Yes.
Should we go with that?
Sure.
All right, how about we move to the right side of Magic Kingdom first? We'll go to Tomorrowland, and we have Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor, which I thought was great. I love how they have the cast members, the monsters, interacting with the crowd, and they picked out all the different roles. I laughed hysterically. That was probably the hardest I've laughed on any Disney attraction. Would you guys agree?
Wow, you really enjoyed that one, huh?
I loved it.
It wasn't bad. My daughter liked it quite a bit, too, when we went last time. I think it's a good solid...
That's two people that liked it?
I like it. I mean,
that's two more than
I'm still waiting for that guy to give me churros.
<That guy. laughs>
Nick, man, I got some bad news for you. Hey, I'm a big churro fan.
No churros coming.
Dude, there's no churros coming.
No.
You know, and then I went in the second time to see it during extra magic hours, and I was enjoying it just as much until one of the worker ladies, the cast members, comes over and tells me to shut off my video camera.
Oh, really? You can't do a videotape? Yeah, I guess not with the characters on there. Yeah, I can totally see that.
Because my mom, she texted in one of the jokes, but we didn't get it. And I was taping it. I thought it was going to be on there. It was a pretty good joke, too.
What was the joke?
It was, it was something about doctors, and what's the joke with doctors and patients? You know what I'm talking about?
It's
like,
no.
Why does the doctor have a lot of time in his hands? Because he has so many patients. We don't have that sound.
So now, which popsicle stick did you read that off of?
I think it's from... Bazooka rapper.
Right.
That's
the problem with it, Matt, is that I think it's a great idea for an attraction, but the problem is they pick up like worst jokes that people send in. I mean, your joke wasn't bad, but I'm sure they picked out worse ones, you know, because of they have to keep it clean, obviously. But I think there are plenty of good clean jokes out there, and I just never feel like they really lived up to they don't live up to the potential of the attraction. I hear that quite a bit from my mom, so I should know.
You mean the jokes that the guests send in, or?
In general, yeah, I think it sounds like a great idea. And the jokes that guests send in are always, I always feel like, lame. And I always find that the other content that the monsters come up with in their routines, not that great. There are some good routines that they do. Often I think that there's two of them that kind of have to go through the entire story of Monsters, Inc. in like 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. And they use the characters in the show. And the guests, excuse me. And I think that's a lot of fun. We were talking, Nick, you know, the churro guy, the jokes they do before the show, that's fun. But the majority of the overall look at the show, I just don't find it. I think they really missed the bar.
Yeah. Probably what I thought was the most funny about it, and that's probably why I thought it was so great, is how they pick out the roles for the people in the audience.
Yeah.
I just think that was what did it for me. Like, there's always a guy in front that everyone's afraid of.
Right.
There's always the churro guy. Yeah. It's pretty straightforward. I mean, I think it's a good act. The thing that I like about the show is that they can change the skits and make the jokes fresh. So it's not like something over at Carousel of Progress where you're going to see the same show every day for the next, you know, 100 years.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And that doctor joke has probably been on that attraction at least a couple hundred times.
Yeah, probably so.
Since it's been open. Yeah. That'd be great if I could find that out, but it's probably not.
I think the problem with that, I think there's a lot of problems with that attraction. In the first place, it's a Pixar-based attraction, so I think it should have been placed in the studios, number one. And number two, I think the dependency upon the guests to interact and make the attraction experience something worthwhile for the other guests really bothers me. And I think that, Matt, you just, you know, you probably lucked out on your first two times there, and you had a bunch of people there who, you know, who made the show very enjoyable to you.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee that's going to happen, and that's a problem I have with that show. But I think it should have been in the studios myself.
Yeah, that, now that I think about it, you're probably right. That does seem like something that.
Oh, don't say that, Matt. You'll just encourage him.
We'll make a website to send the laugh floor over to the studios.
There, yeah. There you go.
But you got American Idol going over there, Matt. So it's.
The story.
That'll be sending a lot of the locals over there. I'm assuming.
What? Yeah, why anyone would want to pay? Yeah, why anyone would want to pay $75 to watch somebody else sing karaoke is beyond me. Plus, I mean, if you're watching, karaoke, there's a bar involved, and I don't think the studios are serving drinks. But
the bottom,
someone talk about a ride that you have to be liquored up to go on to. Jeez, that's got to be it.
You know what it is? Regardless of what we think about it, it's going to draw crowds like crazy, and that's what the speakers out.
Definitely.
It's American Idol. It's anything American Idol draws crowds.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be. It's going to be swamped, so it's going
to
be great.
Yeah, once that comes out, it's probably going to be the closest tie to pop culture that Disney World will have.
Absolutely.
You mean, well, they've got Rocket... Well, I know the studios is pretty much devoted to pop culture.
Yeah.
Is it not? But I guess in the music side...
Well, Bubsy Berkeley, 12-year-olds Bubsy Berkeley. Really go for that. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, they've got Aerosmith, but I guess...
Yeah, that could be... I don't know. I think American Idol will probably beat out Aerosmith when that comes around.
You know, I love Aerosmith too. I think it'll be a hit, but just because it's a hit doesn't make it good. I mean, lots of people eat pork rinds, but I don't know that pork rinds are necessarily. Well, I take that back. I mean, I like pork rinds, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. And that's.
I heard that, Scopa.
I heard that. I heard that. I heard that too.
That's pretty, or back to Laugh Floor, that's probably pretty much the newest attraction that Magic Kingdom has come out, or has released, or whatever word you want to use.
I can't think of anything else.
Can't think of any other words for that. But Haunted Mansion had a couple.
Nice refurb, yeah.
Yeah. Nick, we talked about that a while ago. Would you like to tell us a little bit about the Haunted Mansion's... refurbishments.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, the other guy, Nick,
yeah. They repainted the mansion and everything, gave it a nice little nice paint job. Last time I was there, it did. When I went in February of this year, and it was the first time I wrote it. I wrote it with John Carigliano. At that time, he was with Mouse Times. Now he's with WDW News Today, but. We wrote it for the first time. I was really impressed by the ghost host audio inside of the stretching room, of how they changed it to audio where he follows you around a whole lot more. I do think the sound systems are still, they look a whole lot better. The new scene, the staircase scene is amazing.
Yeah, it's very good.
The Leota floating above the head. The one thing I had about Leota is her head is like floating really high above the table.
Yeah,
I don't know if anybody else used it.
Yeah, she is quite up there.
Is there some sort of OSHA requirement that heads can't float a certain number of a table?
It kind of draws you away.
Oh, okay.
It kind of draws you away from looking at the table. You just see the head floating in the air.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So the yeah, okay. Were you supposed to look at the table for anything?
I guess. No, maybe not.
Yes, I think, the reason why they raised it is because, you know, they have, like, the trumpets and their musical instruments around that. And so if you're focused lower on the table, you tend to miss those. I know I have before in the past. I think they raised that so they can get you looking up and around at the other things floating around.
Plus,
yeah,
it's
kind of
easier to hide the wires.
Yeah.
There are wires?
Oh, no, sorry to wreck the magic.
I haven't seen them.
Exactly.
You also got the new bride stuff.
Yeah, the
new bride was really cool.
New bride stuff is very good.
Yes, yeah, very good.
Scene's always slightly disturbing when I ride with my fiance.
Why?
Alright, so...
Bruce just looking back going, hold on, wait, what was that last one? She's got a little notepad going, wait, what was the first one? I'm going to have to ride that again. No, I'll just come back by myself.
I'm pretty sure that'll wrap it up for Magic Kingdom. We have Laugh Floor, which is fairly new. It's and Haunted Mansion with its new refurbishments, that is a tough word. So we will move on to Epcot. All right. Now over at Epcot, and we'll start in Future World, as we know, Future World Showcase. We'll start in Future World, the gigantic, whatever you want to call it, golf ball, sphere, whatever. Spaceship Earth has its new narration. It got refurbished a little over the winter, last fall and winter. And Nick, tell us who did the old narration.
Oh, Judy Dench.
No, the old narration, not the new narration.
Oh, Jeremy Irons.
There you go. A new narration by Judy Dench. And you guys, me and Nick were talking about this before. It's pretty much the same deal at the beginning, and Judy Dench is pretty much going along with the same script as the older Spaceship Earth. But what we noticed is when they're showing you your future on the monitor, there is absolutely nothing around you.
You got the triangles now.
Triangle designs. And we thought that Disney got away with that one and didn't have to spend as much money. Would you agree?
Would you agree that's
what they were trying to do?
It's a sparse future. There are going to be fewer things. Yeah, fewer things in the future.
Right.
Things look dark.
The animatronics thing
was great. I got a great kick out of that.
I think the attraction itself is very well done. The newly designed scenes are great. I like the new narration. I like the way they've cleaned up the existing scenes too. I think it's fabulous.
Yeah.
So we have a thumbs up all around on that one.
I think Matt said it's a D/ almost E ride going up, and it's an A ride going down, an E-ticket ride going down. I think that, to me, it seems like they're just missing out on something. I just was very disappointed. I think that anyone who goes in there for the first time after the refurbishment and is watching as you're going up towards the top of the geosphere is getting really excited because they're seeing all these new scenes. They're seeing the advanced audio animatronics and animatronics, and they're thinking, wow, this is really cool. And you get to the top, and then you're going down, and I think it's a real letdown at the end.
It is.
It's like a real disappointment.
It is a pretty big letdown. I thought maybe I was the only one that noticed this, but I thought that as you get towards the second part of the attraction, I thought that it took a bigger jump, I don't know how you would say it, like from the jumping over years and over time periods. I think it was about 60s, and then it just topped over to now, or the future.
Well, I mean, everyone knows that nothing of any significance happened in the 70s or 80s.
That is true. That is true. Because last year they had video conferencing with them showing each other how they played baseball and did karate, and that was basically it. This one, it's showing the garage with the computer, and then it's basically jumping over to the future.
Almost as much as Carousel of Progress.
Exactly. I mean, the problem with showing the future is that the damn thing shows up, and then it screws up your
present.
Your screws up your present. Yeah. I mean, you hypothesize about video phone calls, and then all of a sudden, you know, you have Skype. So it's kind of screws everything up.
Not only that, you turn into a cartoon character in the future. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I do like the complete and total ripoff of the Jetsons animation in the.
Somebody owes a lot of money to Hanna-Barbera.
I am thinking, like, where have I seen this before? Oh, yeah, Jetsons on the way here when I downloaded it on my iPod. Yeah.
I actually heard, first thing I heard before when Spaceship Earth was in the middle of its renovation, I actually heard that the Jetsons would be in it.
That's exactly what it looks like. I mean, tell me you don't look at those cartoons and go, "Meet George Jetson."
Yeah. Exactly what it is. But I actually heard that the Jetsons would be in it.
That would have been funny.
That's what I was expecting to see, the actual Jetsons.
Even more money should have been put to Hanna-Barbera.
Exactly.
I don't remember where I heard that, but that's right. All right, now continuing in Future World, we have over at the Seas with Nemo and Friends, which is an attraction based on one of Disney's hit movies, Finding Nemo. And
it's a relatively short attraction.
It is a pretty short attraction, you're right. And overall, I liked it. What I liked the most was at the very end, the thing about the Big Blue World and how they're able to get the characters from Finding Nemo into the fish tank and make it seem like they're actually swimming with the fish. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I think the technology itself is fabulous. Good.
Yeah, that's perhaps the best part of the entire ride, in fact. I mean, the story is cute and all, but I think what really seals the show is really at the end when you see the real fish swimming with the computer-generated fish. And that, I think, really makes it worth it as an adult going in there. Because, the show itself is kind of cute, although kind of annoying after three or four shows where Nemo isn't cute anymore. He's just a jerk for hiding from everybody.
wouldn't it just be a simpler movie if he just listened to his dad?
Yeah, and he didn't go over to the pretty big butt.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, in the movie, you know, he mistakenly gets... Right. In the attraction, he's just purposefully being, just being a pain in the butt and not, you know, hiding from everybody and worrying everyone to death. But you know, I make a good joke out of it, but the end is really what I like the most about it. And I agree with you, Matt, that seeing the fish with the computer-generated fish is really cool.
Now, does anyone here know the name of the starfish in Finding Nemo? I cannot get the starfish's name.
What is that? What's that starfish's name?
Anybody. I can't think of his
name. I know it.
Somebody can Google this while we're all thinking about it.
That's what I'm doing.
While you're Googling. I do like the animatronic anglerfish,
it's
too.
It's Peach.
Peach.
Peach?
Peach, yeah.
Yep.
I don't remember that at all, but...
Can't hear you,
Peach. is what he says at the end. He says, like, so-and-so people passed through here yesterday. Does anyone know if that's... Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think I heard that on one of my journeys through that.
And they actually say that? This is how many people passed through it? That's amazing.
Yeah, well, it's not like an up-to-date, but I think it's, you know...
She says, you know how many people passed through here? She says, that song, it's nice, but they sing it all day long. I like that attraction because of her, and I also enjoy... And someday I'd like to go there when there's not a whole bunch of people behind me and just take my time walking through the queue because
I think the queue's fabulous.
Really did a good job. Really paying attention more so in the last several attractions they've built. They've really been paying attention to the queues with Nemo, with Everest, with Toy Story Mania. They're really doing a good job with that.
I actually got to walk through Nemo with one of the Imagineers that worked on the queue, and he was showing like all the little details that go into around the boats and stuff like that, and the stuff that's supposed to be floating in the theme. It was really interesting, but I think it's a great queue as well.
I'm starting to think now, what if Epcot was having morning extra magic hours and you were the first one on that ride and you went by Peach? Would he say, did you know one person has passed through here today?
Exactly.
He wouldn't, because saying the people that passed through the day before.
Day before, yeah.
Alright, so that... Then that wouldn't happen.
Sadly, no.
Alright.
Is there anything else in... Oh, there's a new Innovations... exhibit. Was it Storm Riders?
Stormstruck. Yeah. Yep.
Any good?
To be honest with you, I have no knowledge of that, so...
Yeah, it just opened the other week, so...
Spears Innovations is just like being constructed all over again.
Well, I think that's good, though. I mean, Innovations is one of those things that's supposed to be updated. It's supposed to be able to update very, very quickly. What I heard from my researchers was that it was a pretty good exhibit.
I want to see it.
Yeah, I think so. Have you guys played the House on Fire game?
Yeah,
in,
it gets old.
Yeah, it gets old pretty quickly. Have you played the pizza game?
Yeah.
I think Inventions closes too early because I didn't get to go last time I was there.
Yeah, 7 o'clock. There's a game that you play with that map of the 50 states, and on each state symbol is two or three things that ingredients that state produces that helps make pizza. So wheat, milk, pepperoni, things like that, beef are on there. So, you know, the toppings for the pizza as well. And your goal is to pick two states that have at least one matching ingredient. And so you're divided up into teams. So the first time we went through, we didn't do that well with my daughter and I, but I think we went through and played like six other times while we were there. Cause once you know what the game is, you know how to prepare for it. So we were a team of two and we were beating everyone. It was great.
Good. Yeah, Inventions is really, that's, well, last time I went, it's a really fun time. You can stay in there for a while.
Yeah, you can.
All right, so moving on in Epcot, we will move over to World Showcase. And I know Nick is a big fan of this attraction.
Oh, yeah.
Gran Fiesta Tour. starring Victory Caballeros, which used to be called El Rio del Tiempo. It is. I've heard you guys. You haven't said too many kind things about the attraction.
I like the attraction. I think it's absolutely fine.
Oh. I like it. That last El Rio del Tiempo was very. I'm gonna say it was very boring.
I think it's it's still not the most exciting ride in the world, but I think it's definitely visually more interesting than it was. The Scopa disagrees. The thing that go ahead. You talk about the ride, and then I'll talk about my.
I was just gonna say it went from the best way I can describe that ride before and after. It's like before, it was like kissing your sister. After, it's like kissing your cousin. So, I mean, I don't see that much of an improvement, you know?
Nice. The thing that I always find interesting about the films is what features of the country, what features of the land the host country wants to emphasize, right? So if you look at the United States, if you look at France, China, all of the other countries, they always tend to feature the same types of things. You've got your standard shots of people. Hold on one second. Pause. You guys gonna edit this, right?
Yeah.
I did a classic bit on this, and it didn't make it in the book, and that's why I want to use it.
Hold on. I have the book right next to me, actually.
That didn't make it in the book. These countries that have films. Which elements of the nation that they chose to highlight. So every film in World Showcase has the sort of fast cut cultural montages of, you know, smiling babies, senior citizens, and you know, the happy young people on parade.
Yeah.
And if you look at Canada, France, and the US, they've also got movies that cram in references from everything from industrial capacity to military strength. To sporting events and population diversification, right? It's mm-hmm. all about the people in every film. So China doesn't have the overt military references because, you know, they're not supposed to, right? But you just know that there's that 10-second clip of dancing Yi people halfway through the film. Right? But if you look at Mexico, right, it's got none of those things. Mexico's films are just food and surfing and beaches.
Good. I was just saying, I think the Mexican pavilion. I think the ride El Rio del Tiempo was nice, but it was really boring. You have to admit it.
It was.
I liked the music, but it was terribly boring. I think this is a better version of it. It's great for kids. Kids will actually want to ride it over and over and over again, and that's what Mexico wants. Mexico wants people to keep coming back over and over again into their pavilion, and hopefully, through the process of saturation of a product, you're going to start to think maybe we should go to Mexico, or Mexico is actually kind of nice. And that's, I think, the general idea. I think the attraction does that. I mean, kids love it. It is kind of funny. I like the part where they're looking for Donald and, you know, excuse me, have you seen a duck? And the guy opens up the pot and there's a cooked duck. And he goes, oh, wrong duck! And, and scurries away. It's a fun little attraction. And they still kept a lot of that whole small world wannabe scene at the end over there. Even at the end of it, you know, when they have the map of Mexico. And Donald was saying, you know, he's trying to say, you know, we'll see you later. And the other guys are like, what did he say?
Covered that, to my knowledge, right?
I think so.
All right, now we will move on to Matt Hochberg's strong point. It is, it was Disney's MGM Studios, and now it is Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Now we're talking. I can finally wake up.
Which he tells me wasn't very crowded on 4th of July, and if I had known that, I would have went there.
You gotta roll with Hochberg, that's what I always say.
Yeah, but I just heard
someone,
Matt...
Someone's better.
I heard... him in the
you
studio.
Say roll Hochberg? Roll with Hochberg.
Whatever. Okay.
All right. And One of the newest attractions and most talked about attractions in Disney World happens to be at the studios, and this would be Toy Story Mania. Nick is also a big fan of this, as he's told me many, many a time.
Oh, yeah.
And this is...
He sounds really thrilled. What a great... Disney would really love that soundbite for all the commercial materials.
This is just fabulous.
And what Toy Story Mania basically is Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin, except in 3D.
And it's better.
You're basically in a little car, and it's bringing you to different screens with different scenarios in the movie Toy Story. And you have the targets to shoot at, and it gives you your score at the end. And I thought this was a lot of fun, even though I had to go on it at about 2 in the morning. Because I got in at 12:59 on extra magic hours for the studios.
Wow.
But it was well worth the wait.
Oh, yeah, it's a fantastic attraction. I think they really hit one out of the park on this one. To call it Buzz Light, to compare it to Buzz Lightyear is a disservice to it. That's like comparing Halo to Pong.
You've insulted Hotchberg, so be prepared for the 10-minute rant.
It's the same idea.
It's the same idea in that, like, you know, it's like Contra is in the Nintendo as...
Idea. Go ahead, Hotchberg. Jesus.
Oh, it should... No. After you ride Toy Story Mania, go ride Buzz Lightyear, and you will feel like you're riding in Len's old 1989 Ford Escort. You know, with
an 84 Ford Escort.
Bagels.
84.
Bagels, exactly. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, it's the ride is just. I think they really did a great job with it. I mean, it's perfect for everyone in the family. All I know, and I shared the story before, is I rode this at the press event for the opening. I rode with Bob Selinger, who's the author of The Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World, and it was his first time riding. I had ridden it before. And we got off the ride and said, Bob, what'd you think of it? And Bob's kind of a salty kind of guy, what you would say, right, Len?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so Bob's response was, he looks at me and he goes, let's ride it again.
Yeah. It's rare for Bob to want to rewrite a ride that quickly. So
yeah, I really that just, you know, is an example of what I'm trying to get at, which is really that it's one of the best attractions that's come out. I think, Mike, you had mentioned this earlier, Scopa, that, you know, Everest and you were talking about the queues, but... You know what? Look at what they're doing now here with these attractions, and they're on a roll when they spend the money.
Yeah, man. I remember we were all sitting around. We're at Stormalong Bay, and we recorded a podcast that night after we had all ridden it. And I remember the first thing that came out of my mouth was that I feel kind of bad for Buzz Lightyear right now because it's such a tremendous leap in technology and fun and pace from the Buzz Lightyear attraction. I mean, I think that. Everybody has to agree, the first time that you ride that attraction, when you come off, it's like, wow, everything went by so fast. I mean, it was so fast-paced, you don't get a chance to think. I mean, you're having so much fun, and you're just focused on everything that it just captures you more so than any attraction since, I'm going to say, Soarin', really.
Oh, wow.
Probably a lot more fun if people didn't have to wait, 2 hours, 2.5 hours to ride at once.
Yeah, that wait sucks.
It was. I went on, like I said, I went on at 1 a.m, and there was still a 75-minute wait.
Yeah, they're not. For some reason, they're not managing the capacity of the ride correctly. They're supposed to be hitting 1,600 people an hour, and they're not. They're not anywhere close to that.
Mm-hmm. Nick, you wanted to say something?
Oh, about Toy Story Mania. Yeah, I mean, I do love the queue. The queue is amazing to the fact that you're basically under Andy's bed and stuff. And you see Mr. Potato Head. Mr. Potato Head is just unreal. The fact that he can pull his ear off. So, and sometimes he drops it, which is really weird. So, I mean, it's a great ride, but the queue is really good, too.
Yeah, I got a kick out of Mr. Potato Head. But overall, that one definitely gets a thumbs up for me. And if you're going to be out late, definitely get in line for that one, because 75 minutes beats 2.5 hours, in my opinion. And moving over to that, like I said, what I was... Journey into Narnia, or Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian, which was Journey into Narnia, is a fairly new ride right next door to Toy Story Mania.
I can't believe anyone actually calls it an attraction.
Yeah, let me tell you... That was the biggest. That was the worst thing I can't even get into it. It was so bad. I can't believe I'm saying that about something in Disney World, but it was so bad.
It's like watching the home movie trailer or watching the movie trailer in your home. If
that's
your home
exactly
is really, really well decorated, yeah, it's not that great. It's just essentially it's the trailer on a much larger screen with a few props around the corner from where you're at. I thought it was a complete waste of time. I wouldn't have unless it was an absolute walk-in and it was raining, and I was worried about being struck by lightning. I don't think I'd ever go back again.
Yeah, I'm a Narnia fan. I mean, we were just trying to kill some time, and then I was just in there. I'm like, you know, it's probably going to be stupid because it's Narnia. And I get in, oh, you're going to learn about how we make this ride. I'm like, all right, this could be somewhat cool. And we go in, and then after the trailer ends, go check out some of the outfits that we used in the movie. And that was it.
Ooh, yeah.
I didn't look at any of the outfits. I just walked right out.
But the one thing that really surprised me was the fact that they gave away the entire plot of the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I was expecting to get, you know, the trailer. They gave away, if you haven't seen the movie, don't go in there because you're going to ruin the entire film for you. Because they give away every single plot detail and what happens in the entire movie, which was very surprising. I know that the attraction opened after the attraction, the movie had come out of was in the theaters. But, I mean, still, the idea is to get people to go watch it, not say that they've seen the movie, you know?
Yeah, that was just you guys seem to agree with me.
You can also look at it for what it is, and that this isn't an e-ticket attraction. This is probably something that cost them, you know, less than a god. If it cost them $1 million, they overpaid for it. But for what it is, it's an excellent preview of it. I mean, the room is well decorated. If you've seen the movie and you know what Aslan's Howl looks like, it's a dead on recreation of it without actually putting fire around you. They have those like glowing paper thingies. Mm-hmm. For what it is, it's good. Is it the best attraction in the world? No. Should you go out of your way to see it? No.
No.
But if you if you're a fan of the Narnia films, you will enjoy it.
Although I'm thinking if you're not a fan of the Narnia films, you won't be after watching it either.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It'll just reinforce whatever preconceived notion you have of the ride.
It was just so bad. I can't stop saying how bad that was. I just laughed at how bad it was that whole day. There were some little kids who were like, oh, yeah, this is awesome, but the majority of it was adults and teenagers in there. And
Matt, when you have little mats of your own running around and you bring them one day and they will pester you until you get in there and you'll go in
like
there.
It's like a Narnia of Prince Caspian, you're right.
Exactly.
What was funny is when it was over and we're all walking out into the wardrobe room, everyone was saying the same exact thing. Everyone had the same exact look on their face like, that's it.
There's 10 minutes of my life I'll never get back.
Yeah. Everyone had the same exact expression. It was hilarious.
Oh, too funny.
All right, now on.
On to the Animal Kingdom?
Yeah, speaking of waste of time, let's move on to the Animal Kingdom.
Dude.
Animal Kingdom.
I agree, 100%.
Nothing new there.
What about we were going to talk about Jedi training. You don't want to get into Jedi training?
Oh, about how
Darth
Vader doing Thriller.
Okay. Nice. That's great. If you haven't seen that, it's fantastic.
That was
YouTube.
Hilarious. That was really funny. With Jedi training, I like seeing the kids not know what the heck they're doing, and they get really scared when Darth Vader comes out.
Oh, it's
they're
a great,
like, full on whacking him and stuff. It's
let me tell you, there are plenty of adults who wish that they could get picked to go on there. Because it looks really... I mean, it is a lot of fun. I mean, you get to don the Jedi robe and get a lightsaber. It's one of the more well-done attractions. It was only a temporary attraction that was only on during Star Wars weekends, but because of the immense popularity of it, Disney decided to make it its own permanent attraction. And they first brought it to Disneyland, and now it's also at the studios. And I mean, it doesn't matter when you go, what time of the year... They are never struggling to get volunteers for that thing because kids just eat it up.
I mean, it's amazing, too. That's 30 years after the movie came out, the original movie.
Yeah. So.
Was that – now, Matt, I know you're a big fan of the Star Wars Weekends. Mm-hmm. Was that – because I had no knowledge of it before Star Wars Weekends this year. Is that kind of what got that started, or has that been around longer?
No. It came about as an event that occurred during Star Wars Weekends, and it was over the years it just became part of it. And then starting last year, they made it its own permanent attraction, and it was there. And it's been there since.
I think the dance off should take its place. Oh, the dance off is pretty much. I think that's where the Adventure Club cast should go work there.
Yeah, right.
Was that last snore real?
No.
The last one sounded pretty realistic.
Was that? That was Scopa.
Star Wars Weekends does that to us.
It's yeah. Anytime you mention Star Wars Weekends, Scopa's sleep apnea kicks in.
Sleep apnea.
All right.
Oh my god. All right. So that is going to wrap it up for the studios. If you have, if you need to know anything about the studios, head over to Matt's site, studiocentral.com. And all right, so to our final park, we have Animal Kingdom, which is also the most recent of the Disney parks. Not that it's that recent, but it's the most recent. And we have Finding Nemo the Musical, which you could say took the place of Tarzan Rocks. And I personally have not seen this. I've heard stories about it. I heard it's not worth going out of your way for, but it can
what?
Be good for the little ones. That's awesome. What I heard.
Wow. What cracker are they been smoking in?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I think...
There's been a couple more.
If you just see the lines, though, I mean, the lines extending out for the afternoon shows are pretty large. I don't even like musicals, and I think it's okay.
I think it's wonderfully done. Really, I mean, the fact that it's in the parks is really amazing to me, because they could easily charge money for this, because it's that good of a quality of it. The only knock I've ever heard on is that... Some people don't like the puppet aspect of it, because for those who don't know, you have actors holding up puppets, and for some people they lack the imagination to understand that what's going on, and that kind of detracts them from it, as so they say. I think it's just after about 2 seconds you kind of get it, no more than seeing like a Muppet, you know. It's not like anyone watches Sesame Street and goes, "Those aren't real."
It's not a real animal.
Part of the charm. Part of the charm of the show is watching the puppets become an extension of the performers. Then you get to appreciate what the performers go through. To put their personality into the puppets. It's just it's quite a show. You know, I kid a lot about the Animal Kingdom, but I think that the Animal Kingdom has the two best shows of all the theme parks, with Finding Nemo the Musical and Festival of the Lion King. I don't think you can find two better shows.
I can definitely
say I'll agree
Lion
with that.
King is the best live performance
show. And Timon's got a new living character head, so.
Oh, so that's cool.
Yeah.
All right,
I think it's a fabulous show. The one thing I would say about it is it's kind of long, 30 to 35 minutes, you know, plus the time you spend waiting in line.
I agree with you, Len, but wouldn't you say also that it's worth the time? It's not like you go there
I'm just saying for kids, you know, it's a long time for kids to sit still. But if you go in there knowing that, then, yeah, you know, you're cool.
Yep.
All right, so that should pretty much wrap up the four parks, Animal Kingdom, Epcot, Studios, and Magic Kingdom. Once again, I would just like to thank Len, Matt, and Mike for joining us. It has been a complete pleasure. It's been great. And I just want to let you guys know that you guys inspired me to start getting into all this Disney podcasting and all the media stuff. So,
guys are officially the bomb.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that we've ruined your life. But
really. I apologize. But check with us.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having us on, Matt and Nick.
Yeah.
We appreciate you guys coming on. Hopefully we can do this again sometime. But keep up the good work on WDW Today.
Please keep up the good work. I enjoy it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, thank you guys for joining us. This has been Episode 7 of WDW Mic'd Up. If you have any questions, Matt at dnwproductions.com and Nick at dnwproductions.com. And the site, wdwmic'dup.com. Or wdwmic'dup.dnwproductions.com, which Nick is telling me is very close to getting a domain name.
Very close.
Phone domaining, which
Indeed.
Would be awesome.
Indeed.
Thank you guys for joining us. Thanks for listening in, and we will see you on the next show. Good night.